Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Scarycast. We have a very special episode today. This is Dr. John Stamey and glad to be with you. We are celebrating July the 2nd, which is the World UFO Day. Now, many of you may not have heard of this wonderful endeavor, but we think it's important because here at Scarycast, we believe in a lot of things, and we certainly believe in extraterrestrial contact. So today, we've got the first of two podcasts to talk about things in and of and related to UFOs. First of all, we're going to talk about CE5, the contact protocol attributed to Dr. Stephen Greer, and that is now supported and promoted by the Center for Extraterrestrial Life, SETI. And we're really very excited about this concept. I first heard about it when I was up at the Space Expo, space meaning Spruce Pine Alien Conference and Expo, spearheaded by Jimmy Henshaw up in beautiful Spruce Pine, North Carolina, right next to Little Switzerland. It was a privilege to be up there. I premiered my new book, which is called Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. I got to speak. I was there with Mike Barr from Ancient Aliens. So we had a lot of fun, met a lot of great people. And one of the people that I met, or actually two of the people that I met, they came right over to my table when the talks were over, the panel, and it was Mr. and Mrs. Spencer Fisher. And they were such nice people. And today we have as our guest Spencer. He is a martial arts instructor from the Spruce Pine area, actually Jackson County, which is in the very, very westernmost tip of North Carolina. And he does a lot of great things. He's got students. He's got a gym. They work to give back to the community. They're really wonderful people. So first of all, I want to say good afternoon, Spencer. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
We are so glad to have you here. And all the great things you do, not only for the martial arts community, but for your students. We're so thrilled to have you here. It's always great to have good people on the show. So now, we started talking about CE5, and I want to give a little bit of an overview for the folks that may not know what this is, and then you and I are going to talk the rest of the time. Is that okay?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, attributed to Dr. Stephen Greer, we've got a protocol for engaging contact with extraterrestrials, or let's say with any type of entity that is not standard to our M4 domain, M4 being the Cartesian plane, the length, width, height, and then time. So that's what we call M4. You can find out more about M4 in the book, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. But there are three major areas that have got to be addressed when you're trying to attract, talk, and bring UFOs to where you are. One is lighting. And I'm going to be reading this. This is from SETI, Texas, and I think it's a really good presentation. The light is simple. It was noticed that sometimes extraterrestrial vehicles would show up over concerts that used lots of laser lights shining into the sky. So the contact teams shine a laser into the sky. Nowadays, because of the danger of blinding a pilot, we don't do lasers at anything in the sky. They're mostly just used to mark our position on the ground. In the past, extraterrestrial vehicles have approached teams, and the team would signal using bright lights, and more likely than not, ETs would respond in a like manner. So lighting is the first of the three key components of the CE5 protocol. Next are tones, or sound. Teams broadcast tones over the radio that were originally recorded in a contact event in a crop circle. The tones were part of their technology that they've recorded, and they're sending back to the ETs. Imagine if you went to someone's home and they had a wall of pictures. How interested would you be? Mildly, maybe. What if you noticed that your picture was on the wall? Would that pique your interest? So transmitting their own technology back to them is our attempt to put your picture on the wall or to put their picture on your wall. Finally is thought, or rather coherent thought. Officially, SETI has coined the phrase coherent thought sequencing, or CTS, to mean coherent centered thought that in a specific way invites contact and shows your team's location. So we've got the three key components of light, tones, and thought. So Spencer, first of all, I'd like for you to introduce yourself to everybody here on Scarycast and tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then I'll give you the big let's talk about your experience with CE5. So Spencer Fisher, welcome, and who are you?
Thank you. Well, I'm obviously Spencer Fisher, and I'm from Jackson County, North Carolina. I'm from Cashers, and I was a professional mixed martial artist. I fought in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I had 17 fights in the UFC, and moved out to Iowa to pursue this dream and live my career out there. And then after I retired, my wife wanted to move back to North Carolina to be close to her family, so we packed up and moved back to Western North Carolina and open up a facility in Silva. It's called Glory Martial Arts and Fitness, and that's what I'm doing currently.
I tell you what, Silva is a beautiful town. I have been there many, many times. You're very close to Cullowhee, which is the location of Western Carolina University. You're also very close to Cherokee County, which is a real favorite of mine. I'm the chair this year of the Cherokee Comic-Con. We love that area. So now you have done some fighting. You told me that you fought in a number of major fights. Just go ahead and share that with everyone, because I think they'd like to know.
Yeah, I fought in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, and I went on two title runs and got to fight the number one contendership. And unfortunately for me, you know, in the fight game, it's hard to predict with these things, and I came up short. But I had a long career in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, which is the number one organization in the world, and lived my dream. Got to travel around the world and see different countries, and just meet a lot of great people along the way. So got to be very versed in different cultures and just listen to different people talk. And along the way, jumping into the UFO thing, I met some Border Patrol people and back in the early 2000s, and they were talking about Stephen Greer and how we were going to go to a conference of his. And we went out there and checked it out, and I was complete skeptic, you know, about this phenomena. And my wife and I went, and we went and we listened to what he had to say. And surprisingly, he had a panel and videos of military personnel, former astronauts, all these people that were saying that these things were real. And when you hear people that, you know, have been to space and that work in these high intelligence agencies, it makes you really think something about it.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to digress for just a minute, and I think you'll see where I'm going. You know, you talk about the fact that you saw all this information about UFOs, and it really kind of turns you on as a bit of a believer, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And so we listened to Stephen Greer, seen several videos, and learned his CE5 protocol contact. And so my wife and I were out in the desert after one of the fights, and we went out into the high desert and ironically went to extraterrestrial highway and thought we would try this protocol. And she was not very optimistic about it, but I said, let's try it. And we did it the first time. Now, keep in mind, we're out in the desert, and you can see no light pollution. This is 2 hours away from Vegas, and we were out there, and we were doing the you were talking about the consciousness, the thought, the way of doing it, and a light showed up above us, and we were seeing shooting stars, and this area that we were at was a no-fly zone, so there was no conventional aircraft that we know of that could do the things that we do, the things that we saw and witnessed. And this light After we were both meditating and doing this, this light showed up and flew directly over our head and then went out. And this was not like a shooting star, because we were seeing shooting stars, which was like a second or two. This was for, I'd say, probably 15 seconds, 30 seconds, I don't know. But it was long enough for me to drop the keys and have a panic attack. So we had experience about that. It was completely shocking that we've seen this. Both of us were dumbfounded, you know, to say the least. So I get back, come back to North Carolina. I tell my students about it, and they were very skeptical about it. So I took a group of them. I said, hey, let's go up and look at these lights, very similar to the Brown Mountain lights called the Thomas Divide. And there's some lights up there that are very similar, if not the same phenomena, of the Brown Mountain lights. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Brown Mountain lights. Yep. Yeah, I wanted to say something. I'm from Burke County, and I've seen the Brown Mountain lights. And in working to put together the Cherokee Comic-Con, we're going to do an outing either Friday or Saturday night, I'm not sure which, to the Thomas Divide. And you're not in any way, shape, or form one of the few people that has told me about this. I mean, a ton of people tell me that the Thomas Divide is one of the most spiritual and psychic, for lack of a better word, locations in all of Western North Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, at the Brown Mountain Lights, I went out there one time and I sat for 3 hours and didn't see anything. And then I wasn't even aware of these lights over the Thomas Divide. And then one of my students tells me, hey, you know, you don't have to drive all the way to Brown Mountain. They're over in Cherokee. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, every time I've been up there, I've seen them.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about your experiences at the Thomas Divide, if you don't mind.
We did the protocol. We turned on the Stephen Greer protocol that he does it and kind of guides you through it. And then I've taken two different groups up there before and took some guys up there. And the first time that we seen lights split apart, one flew over our head. And then as we all looked at it silently, as it was passed over our head, a big flash of light. It was like a cone, for a better word of it, flashed. And I've taken other students up there. And again, we've meditated and listened to the Stephen Greer thing and seen lights in the sky. And, of course, we see aircraft up there also. But these lights are something else totally.
Wow. That's amazing, Spencer. So how long did you – now, let me back up a minute. Did you do any type of pre-meditation such as the tones or the lights? Or did you just go right into meditation?
No, I try to get a good the guys a brief background that, you know, of how this is done, you know, to kind of clear your thoughts and just don't have any negativity in your thought process, you know, have be positive about everything and just trying to be open to, you know, to love and light and just exactly as the Greer protocol goes. And your location, you know, it's, you know, to meditate and then visualize where you're at and then visualize from 100 yards above and a mile above and seeing your location into space and then you're calling out. And it's very similar to what Tom DeLonge experienced, you know, the guys from To the Stars Academy, you know, that's releasing all this information. He had a similar experience out in the desert with following the Stephen Greer protocol as well. And his story is unique in itself. So I don't know if your listeners follow what Tom DeLonge and To the Stars has going on, but he talks about his experience out in the desert as well.
Wow, that's great. I'll try to get a link up on our site this week for that so that people can enjoy that and see what all he's talking about. So now you've done this twice. And it has worked for you.
We've done it several times. But with my group of students here, you know, I've also found that it's stronger with the more numbers that you have of people. Like,
right,
say,
I
like,
mean, that makes sense.
I've had success with it 90% of the time doing it. And the more that people that we have involved, we've had experience every time that we've done it when we've had large groups of us.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that you had success maybe because you were leading it?
I don't know. You know, I don't know, because my wife and I talk about it, and the way that she thinks about it, the way I think about it, is a little bit differently, but we're both closing our mind off. She says prayer. I say meditation, guiding. But she's been with me to witness this stuff, and I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if you would say it was because of me, because she says she does it differently, but she's seen them with me. My students have seen them. Individual students, after we've done this, they've told me their experiences whenever they were trying to tell other ones about them being able to call these things, or lights, for a better word, because that's all we've seen, and structural craft. You know, we've seen craft of these things, or what I would call craft. You know, there was an object that had light around it.
Okay. So I'd say, how many times have you seen these objects? You know, excluding, of course, when you're doing your prep talk.
We've had two encounters that we weren't doing anything whatsoever, just driving down the road and seeing stuff. We had a really cool experience one time. It was kind of almost scary. We were in Iowa when I lived in Iowa, and we were driving back from my daughter's school, and my wife told me to pull the car over. We were driving down the highway, and she tells me to pull over. And I'm asking, what do you want me to pull over for? And over on the highway, and she said, I just want you to pull over. So I pulled over on the side of the road, and she says, look at this light. And there was a light, it was a red light, and I thought it was one of the towers, you know, those tall towers that blink. And I said, that's a tower. And she said, no, it's not. I've been watching it, and it's been following us, or not following us, but it's been in the sky since I've noticed it, and it's been around our location the whole time. And my daughter, and it was in the back, said, I want to see. And we both turned to her and told her no. She couldn't get out of the car. And we looked back, and it was gone. Well, we were dumbfounded by it. And she's like, I told you. And then as we were getting back in the car, she says, look. And it was now on the same side of the highway that we were on, over a set of trees. It went from east to west. She's with me right now. She said it went from east to west, and it was hovering over the trees. And it was pretty spooky, you know, to say the least, about that, because we hadn't thought about it. It wasn't thinking about it or trying to call. It was just, we were just listening to a podcast, and then boom, there's lights in the sky. So,
and then, wow, that's amazing.
One time it was pretty crazy, pretty crazy stuff. And I think a lot of people would see a lot more stuff that they would be looking up rather than at their cell phones all the time. You know, it's amazing what you see if you just look up in the sky. So, but when one of my classes, go ahead.
No, I said, that is very true. We need to get our noses out of our cell phones and be looking up in the sky for the great things that we can see, whether it's planets, stars, meteors, comets, or if it's a UFO. Absolutely.
Exactly. And absolutely the sense of that. It's unidentified, and it was not conventional craft that we were seeing. My wife has a app on her phone, a Skywatch app, that tells you where space stations are at, or what constellation, or if you're looking at a planet. So, like I said, we know what it's not. We just don't know what it is. And come to find out, the more people I talk to about this, we run a class for Parkinson's patients at our gym as well. And today I was talking to them about doing the podcast, and I was surprised to hear how many people were saying they had seen these things around the cashier's area, you know, and it just blew my mind that people are open to this, and they know about this and have sightings of their own. And it just blows my mind. Again, people are starting to come out. I think because of the recent releases, you're not seem to be tinfoil hat wearing person if you see stuff, and people are talking about it now. And I think Western North Carolina is kind of a hot spot for sightings.
Well, I believe you're right. And I can tell you that in my book, I list Spruce Pine, North Carolina as a hot spot for UFOs, along with Clayton, Georgia, where I do a lot of work. I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference there. But Spruce Pine, where you had the expo, and that entire area moving over to Jackson County and Cherokee, that is a hot spot for UFOs. And in fact, our friend Mary Joyce has that wonderful blog. It's called Skyships Over Cashiers. So everybody check out skyshipsovercashiers.com. It's a good blog. She has lots of great stories of things that are happening there and all over the paranormal community. But yes, Spencer, that sounds like a great thing. Now, could you tell us a little bit about how you approached? What sounds did you use? What lighting did you use? And then what did you tell your students to meditate on?
Well, I told them our experiences first, and like I said, there I had a different walks of life, you know, different walks of life up there with me, and I'm sure that some of them were kind of skeptical, but I told them they had to lose that, to lose the skepticism and open their minds up, so we listened. I turned on the Stephen Greer protocol and how it's done, and we just focused in on what he was saying. And some of us were sitting Indian style. Some of them were laying down. Some of the guys were standing. But everybody was quiet. We quieted our mind, and we just opened our minds and opened ourselves up to the possibility of this, and asked it to show itself if it was out there, it sure enough happened. So,
wow. What types of sounds, and where did you get the sounds that you used?
Some of the mantras that we found on YouTube, we had it playing. Some of it we found from Stephen Greer that actually does guided meditation on the YouTube that we found on YouTube, and we just played it out loud. I have a speaker, and we played it so everybody was listening to the exact same thing at the same time, and we just turned it up, and everybody kind of went to a meditation state, and we all did it together, and then these lights started appearing.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, during the Cherokee Comic-Con, and you and I can work this out, either Friday or Saturday night, let's head to the, in fact, frankly, I want to head to the Thomas Divide both nights. But I'd like for us to head there one night and do one of these CE5 protocols and see what we can find. Even as early as 6 months ago, when I was talking to some young ladies in Myrtle Beach, they were from Cherokee. I said, we're doing the Cherokee Legends Comic-Con. And, where are the paranormal events? The first thing they both said was the Thomas Divide. So, and apparently that's really where a lot of action takes place. So are you looking to do some of these in the future? And in fact, I'd like to say and invite you, I'd love to have you come work with me and do one. We'll try to do one at the Brown Mountain Overlook, and then we'll try to do one at the Thomas Divide maybe this fall. And who knows, maybe we could do one in Georgia at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and one at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I mean, I'll talk to you about those and see what you could work out, but I'd love to have you with us because you've got some good experience. Have you had any other paranormal experiences that you'd like to share with us?
No, not off the top of my head can I think of anything. Like I said, I was not very open to this whole topic for the longest time, but now, it's kind of consumed my life once I, and we've hiked the Divide also, think about it, and we've seen lights up there as well when we hiked it. But this was not this was just hiking and seeing the lights up there, the Cherokee Thomas Divide lights. We've actually hiked the Divide. And that was like a 10-mile hike. So I don't suggest anybody do that unless they're in great shape to do that because it's rocky terrain. But as far as any paranormal, I've never had any situations that I can think off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, a lot of times if folks begin to have experiences in one area, they might have had experiences in another. So, you know, that's always a question that I have and I like to ask that to folks. Do you plan on doing this in some additional times with some of your students? I mean, do you want to make this kind of a regular thing, quarterly or halfway through each year or whatever? What are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I would like to do it as much as possible, and I'd like to get more people informed about it. And the information's out there. Like I said, Stephen Greer, I'm not sure how he came across this whole thing, but you can look up on YouTube and see several of these videos that he calls these things out in the ocean, so some of the ranches they've gone to. And you can hear people's individual testimony. And again, this is all walks of life, too, that see these things. So it's not limited to just one person. And again, if your mind is open to this thing, I believe that the consciousness factor, you know, the thought is what is making the contact with these things. So I believe it all surrounds consciousness.
Absolutely. Now, do you think that because you teach martial arts, and martial arts is, as has been explained to me, is about 90% mental and 10% physical.
Right.
It's all about what you think about and how you can take those thoughts and generate the movements and the entire defensive strategy and offensive strategy of martial arts. Do you think that students who are trained in martial arts can do better on this because they do have better training of their mind?
Yeah, more focus. Yeah, I believe that's true. Again, I get all walks of life in there, but it seems like the martial artists, the real martial artists that can focus their mind, I would say yes, that's more likely that they could tune this in. So yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, I certainly am a proponent of mind control. In terms, when I talk about mind control, being able to focus and concentrate, I think those are very important elements of being able to participate in any type of paranormal, or for lack of a better word, any type of paranormal experience. So I think that's really, really important. Now, it won't be long. I think you've got a student of yours calling in here in just a little bit, and he hasn't called in yet, but tell us a little bit about him, and he's going to give us a bit of a different perspective, or at least his perspective, on what you have done.
Yeah, we just saw him a couple hours ago. His name is Dan, and he's one of my students. He's been with me for probably a little over a year now, but I was so excited and about the things that I've seen. We talked to him, and sometimes in my class we get a little sidetracked. Sometimes, you know, when we talk about the UFO phenomena, especially with everything coming out in the news lately, and I get a lot of people in my gym that are like, "Come on now," and I'm like, "Well, now it's being released, so I said just open your mind to it. Look at the information that's out there." And so some of them that were there that morning, I said, "Why don't you come up to the Thomas Divine, let's do this and let's just see if anything happens, you know, but you got to keep an open mind." And Dan is a very open-minded person, and he was game for it. Some of the other people I don't think were as excited about or positive about it, but optimistic. But we went up there, and we've seen these things. And I don't know. I talked to him earlier about calling in, and he's supposed to. So I would surely he's calling within the next 30 minutes. I'd hope so, if he's available.
Well, yeah. Well, let's hope he'll join us. So now, what do you think? Because you're seeing lights. Are you necessarily seeing lights and spaceships, or just lights? Which of the two are you seeing?
Lights, except for the light, we're seeing lights. And the one time that we were up there, the Thomas Divide, this cone flew over our head, you know, and, it was the shape of a cone, and that's what it looked like to me. And then it flew over our head, and we seen like a flash of light. So I'm not sure, what that was, but off in the distance, it's usually lights that we've seen. But with the story I was telling about earlier when we were driving on the highway, that looked like a ball of light that was had a structure to it. And then out in Vegas, so was definitely an object.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to know, because I know I've seen a number of anomalous objects. I think here in Myrtle Beach, we have one of the largest collections of UFO sightings in the world. Almost every night, you can stand out on the boardwalk, and you can see the red and the orange lights playing around after, you know, usually after midnight. Now, the Myrtle Beach International Airport will not send or receive flights east, which is over the Atlantic Ocean, and that's where we see these things. They'll only receive flights and send flights north, south, and west, and that's, you know, for safety's sake, because you don't want a flight to take off, have a problem, then crash into the Atlantic Ocean. Nobody wants that. So we know that there's nothing going on, going out there on the Atlantic Ocean. And sometimes I'll get a group of people, I'll say, you see those lights? And they'll say, yeah, so those are UFOs. And they'll look at me, they'll say, oh, great. And then that's about it. So, I mean, you know, right. it's just kind of interesting. People's take on it, they want to look at it, they see it, and they don't even want to acknowledge it. Or they kind of look at you like you're crazy. But, I mean, you know, I've got a very good friend. He and I sat, when I lived in Pawleys Island, we sat on our porch, on my porch, and we watched a golden orange object move parallel to the horizon and then make a sharp curve, went straight up, up and up and up. And it took about 3 or 4 minutes for this to happen. That's what was interesting. It just didn't happen at a blinding speed. We both tried to take pictures, but our cell phone cameras were not of the resolution that we could get them, you know, get them in our sights and have a good picture. But it was really kind of neat what happened. And Danny Hen is his name, and he's actually coming back down next week. We're going to go out UFO watching and everything. And so, yeah, we really do see a lot of things here. Now, I believe we have calling in your student, Mr. Dan. How are you doing today, Dan?
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great. This is Dr. John with Scarycast, and we have Spencer with us. And we talked a little bit about the CE5 protocol and some of his experiences, and actually the fact that you, he told us a little bit about you, that you have been to Western Carolina University, and you've been with him as a martial arts student for, you know, over a year or so. And first of all, thanks for being on Scarycast. We really appreciate having you here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, tell us a little bit about your perspective on these CE5 protocols and the experiences that you've had out there with Spencer and his group.
Okay, so I remember the first day that I personally went out there with everyone. We were listening to one of the guided meditations on YouTube, and we must have been, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes in, and you sort of hear like these owls kind of hooting, like out of nowhere, just like these owls start going off.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. And I'm kind of looking out, and you see this sort of ball of light going over sort of just under the tree line across the valley. We're on the side, and I guess, you know, you're going across the valley, and then on the other side there's the tree line. And this light starts coming up, and it kind of glows in. And I remember it splitting into two different ones and then sort of like going in and out. And I think at one point it went out for a little bit, and then it came back. And then this is kind of the cool thing, is one of them started spiraling. It turned red. From what I remember, it turned red, and it started going in what I would call, like, the divine spiral, like a Fibonacci sequence. Like, it started spiraling outward. And that was kind of interesting. So we're kind of dealing with that for a little bit, kind of all kind of excited about that. Some people are freaking out. I'm pretty excited about it.
Me,
I was gonna say so,
it's being a pansy, but we're kind of reassessing, and they're talking about it, and we're kind of deciding, do we stay, do we go? And all of a sudden, we look up, and there's this giant flash of light, and there's this thing coming, and it's a giant flashlight, and we're like, holy shit. And Spencer's like, I want to go. I'm like, no, we're not going yet. more cool stuff. I'm like, we're not going until we get more stuff. But yeah, it was crazy because I think before that, we'd also seen like these two separate, I thought they might have been planes at first, but these two separate.
But then they split apart.
And then they, yep. I remember meeting at one point, and then, like, everything split off in different directions. There was this, like, there was these lights, and it was sort of coming, I would say it was coming from northwest, sort of downward, and then it split off in two different directions.
Then, they split two different directions.
Yeah, they were the same size as the hole they broke off from, which, I mean, I'd be one thing if you had, like, an object of a certain amount of mass, and it broke apart into two, you know, something cut that mass cut in half, but it was two pieces that looked like the same size. I was like, that's interesting. So I think that all happened in one night. And I remember it was me, Sasha, Matt, Spencer,
Hector.
Hector. So I guess there was six of us that night. And we went back, was it a week or 2 weeks later? We were listening to one again, like half the group's not really paying attention. People were like, a couple people were like, they were scared to death. And they're like, I don't want to see anything. Me and Spencer are like, come on. And we heard the owls go off again. That sort of happens every time.
I forgot to mention that about the owls. It seemed like the same time during the meditation, these owls started going off. They started going crazy. And we've been up there before just to look at the lights without the meditation, and we never heard the owls. But during this, almost, when you say it was about the same time during the meditation, Dan, that the owls started going off?
The second time, I got lost in the meditation the second time. I lost track of time, to be honest with you. But I definitely noticed that when the owls went off, I kind of came back to reality a little bit. I'm like, oh, there's that again. And then the lights started showing up. It's like as if the owls like know stuff's happening, or it was sort of the indicator. The owls go off, and
then you were about that. Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention that.
Because that's happened every time. Whenever I hear the owls start kind of randomly doing their thing, you always start seeing some activity.
Seeing the light. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right, now I want to challenge both of you to something. When you talk about owls, are you sure that they are owls, or could they possibly be the sounds of Bigfoot?
I don't know. I really don't know. It sounded like owls. I don't know. Like, we didn't see anything. We didn't see any birds. But again, we're talking about when it was dark, so we wouldn't be able to. But it sounded like owls to me. But I've never heard anything else like that either, though.
That's interesting. And here's what we need to do. And we need to do this before the Cherokee Comic Con when we do it. Spencer, I need to come up there, and you and me and a couple of your students, Dan, would love to have you there. We need to go up there, and we need to record those sounds. And I need to play those for some folks that are very familiar with Bigfoot and see if, well, are we hearing owls, or are we hearing the sounds of Bigfoot prior to this aerial light display? I mean, that's just something that stands out to me. I may be wrong, I may be right. Don't know, but, you know, I'm a scientist, and I try to bring a scientific exploration and a set of procedures to whatever we do. So I think that would be a lot of fun, don't you? To record everything that happens, the audio and even the video, and then let's examine it. Now, I'm going to be amazed if we can actually record the lights. I will truly be amazed if we can record them, because I think there might be some type of interdimensional aspect to them, and we might not be able to see them on camera where we can see them for real. But, let's do that. I'm sorry, Spencer. What were you saying?
Yeah, we've tried to record them, and we can't. We try to. I've gotten pictures of faint lights out there, but to try to record the lights has been hard. And a lot of times, and I hear people say it all the time, when you get caught up in the moment, the last thing you think about, even when you have the phone in your hand, is to record. You know, you're just kind of shocked and awed by it. So, like Dan was saying, whenever we were up there, we're playing the protocol. That thing flew over our head, and there was a flash of light, and we were listening to the CE5 protocol on my phone, and you would think, well, why didn't you record it? But it just never crossed my mind to do such, you know.
Yeah. Well, that is certainly an interesting thing, and we'll have to discuss this offline about how we want to approach it, but I had a feeling that the lights were hard to record because they didn't seem to be able to record. Marfa, Texas, has similar lights to the Brown Mountain lights, and they happen like every day, every other day. They even have a visitor center built there, and they can't even record the lights. I think that's what's interesting. I mean, if they could record them, they'd be all over the planet, but they just can't seem to record them, and it's a lot like you can't really record Bigfoot. You can't really record Dogman. You can't record any of these cryptids. They're a bit interdimensional. So we'll see what happens. But I do want to thank both of you for being on here, and I'd like to have from each of you a good solid closing thought about the lights, the CE5, and your experiences. So I'm going to go first. I'm going to go first with Dan. What would you like to leave with us about your experience with these and how they have affected you?
Well, just sort of my I do a lot of random research in everything from philosophy to quantum mechanics, and just like the way that your senses interpret wave frequency, and there are some things that just seem to be what I would call beyond the general frequency that your senses should be able to pick up. And yet occasionally, you know, I feel like I'll see something, what I would consider supernatural, or see something that is sort of, or hear something that sort of doesn't necessarily fall into the range, or I get a gut feeling about something, and then, you know, something tends to happen, or I tend to want to avoid something. And, you know, I think it's all frequency-based. Everything is... And you know, these things are starting to, I feel like, pop up more often. And I think when people focus on things, you provide enough energy for something to sort of materialize. So if there's that, you know, it's like you call somebody's name enough, you get someone's attention, right? Well, if you
exactly.
kind of focus on a frequency that something would recognize as itself, then you draw attention to it. So to me, I feel like it could these type of interactions, these higher dimensional or whatever they are, could ultimately be explained, you know. And so if we can kind of get to the point to where we can maybe understand it better and chart it better, it's something that ultimately science could include in its description of reality.
Well, that's a great way to put it. I like that. You know, being a scientist myself, I really like what you said. And especially the more you call someone's name, the more likely they are to show up. And so the more you go out to look for anomalies, the more they're likely to appear. I think you.
Agreed.
Would you agree with that statement?
100%.
That was
a good way to put it, Dan. I agree, and I think if people would, like I said, you know, start looking up more and maybe try this themselves, you know, have some open-minded people when you do this. All the information is available on the internet, you know, everything. You can find anything now on the internet. Find out how to do this. Be open-minded to do it. See if you can get to talk to friends into trying it, and see what you see. You know, see if you can find something.
Absolutely.
I was going to say one more thing. Like, if you think about this from a sports psychology perspective, you look at how many people challenge the champion of a particular sport and how many people go, oh, I can't win, and then they defeat themselves before it happens. And some guy just goes out there, I'm going to fucking hit this guy. I'm sorry for profanity. I'm just going to hit this guy, end up knocking the guy out. You start to close things off in your head if you start to think that things aren't possible. But if you sort of you allow yourself to be open-minded enough to kind of maybe recognize something else, you know, when we've already proven through science that there's more out there than our senses can pick up, you know, right off the bat, then you start to open the door for things to be able to kind of come more often, I think, at least. So.
I agree. Well, and I tell you what, both of you have given us some great food for thought about the CE5 protocol, about UFOs. And Spencer, first of all, because you have done so much martial arts, I want to invite you to come on our show, Pop Culture Stars, because one of my senior co-hosts is Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. He is an MMA aficionado. He is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. And I would love to hear the two of you talk about martial arts together. Would you be interested in coming on to our show sometime and having a great lively discussion with Papa Stro about that?
Absolutely. I'm always open.
That's great. We want to have you on there. I think it will be great. And I tell you, Dan, thank you so much for being with us. I loved your quantum mechanics perspective. That's one that I have embraced for quite a while. So I want to say thanks, Spencer. Spencer Fisher, everybody, is one of the martial arts leaders up there in Western North Carolina. He has effectively used the CE5 protocol, and he's going to be working with us at the Cherokee Comic-Con, and even before and even after, as we try to bring this to people. I think it's important. The more we bring it, to quote Dan, the more we bring it to people, the more people will see it. Is that right, Dan?
Yep.
That's right.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us here on this special World UFO Day edition of ScaryCast. This will be linked up on July the 2nd, and I hope everyone will listen to it. We'll be sharing it out all over the world at ScaryCast.com. So thanks a lot for being with us. We'll have you both back sooner than later. So thank you very much. So
thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you, and we'll check you guys soon. Happy World UFO Day, and then happy 4th of July to everyone.
Thank you.
Greetings and salutations from ScaryCast.